none of the cards.
"Calder's coming!"
roared the messenger, skittering to a halt in the middle of Scarling's hall and nearly going over on his arse.
"By the dead!"
someone breathed. Rika felt a flutter in her stomach. Fear and doubt, of course, those familiar friends of hers, but excitement, too. So strong she couldn't quite keep the smile off her face. She glanced over at Corlith.
"Looks like the weather didn't put him off after all."
The messenger was halfway sick from running, and he coughed, spat, then blurted out more in gulping rushes.
"He's no more a day or two distant. Strung out on the bad roads, but lot of men. Mighty host. Thousands. And a swarm of bastards from past the Crinna, too. Some fucker rides on a wagon of bones. Stand of the Barrows, they call him."
There was a murmur in Scarling's hall. Fear and doubt, of course, but actually just fear and doubt. From a set of bastards who'd been tigers every man not a few months back when they dragged Stour Nightfall into the hall on his ruined knees. She remembered her father telling her, all warriors are brave when they're sure of victory. Amazing how few stay brave when the numbers are against them and the hopes look thin.
"They're burning every farm they find," blathered the messenger, "and skinning the folk there and taking their bones."
"Their bones?"
someone muttered, face all twisted with sick shock.
"They're the ones that keep you standing," growled Rika. "We could do with a few more in here, I reckon. Shivers, send scouts into the hills, keep a watch on Calder and his men. Make sure we get no more surprises, and spread word in the valleys round about. Don't want this Barrows bastard killing anyone we can save with a warning. Tell any friends Black Calder's on his way, and they should be ready."
"Aye,"
said Shivers simply. No hint of fear on his scarred face as he picked a few men out and sent them scampering for the doors. He didn't know what fear was, or if he did, he'd buried his so deep no one would ever catch a glimpse of it. Rika took courage from that, though her heart was thumping so hard she worried Black Calder might hear it, even a day or two away. Corlith leaned close to Scarling's chair.
"The still a ways off. Ain't too late to run."
"It's way too late."
Rika grinned sideways at her, had to keep grinning, however her stomach bubbled and her skin prickled and her hands wanted to shake.
"I ran from Black Calder once and it was no fun at all. Promised myself I'd never do it again."
"We're staying then,"
grunted one of the warriors, looking like that wouldn't have been his first choice. Shivers raised his one brow at Rika.
"We're staying," she said to Shivers.
"We're staying,"
Shivers pronounced to the room.
"But we got none of the cards," someone called.
Meaning, Rika gathered, that she'd thrown them all away.
"The nail's gone, and Hardbread's gone, and his son Ifail's gone."
"Calder's got the numbers,"
growled a fellow with a gravelly voice but a fearful pallor.
"Might have the numbers 10-1.
"He might have the numbers," said Rika, "but we've got the walls."
"But if those Crinna bastards get inside them, there'll be no mercy."
"Hoping for mercy from your enemies is a piss-weak way to start a fight."
She jumped up from Scarling's chair and sneered at him down her nose.
"I shouldn't have to explain that to you lot. You're meant to make them hope for mercy from you. Look at you, clucking and fussing, while the women can't wait to fight."
And she waved a hand at Corlith, who looked, in fact, like she had some sizable doubts about the whole notion.
"Tell you what, Corlith, bring your granny up here to the hall where it's safe. Safer, anyway."
And she hacked out a laugh. A bit of fearlessness was what they needed to see from her now. Maybe it'd be catching. Corlith stared.
"Reckon she'd be happier in her house. Better sad and alive, though. Shivers'll help you."
Rika was already strolling over to Stour's cage.
"And we've still got a card or two left to play."
There sat the used-to-be terror of the north, his eyes gleaming in the shadows, one limp leg hanging through the bars so his toes near brushed the stone. Your daddy loves you, eh? She sang. Ain't a thing he wouldn't give for you, even Carlion. That pallid warrior's colour had only got worse.
Maybe Black Calder'll make a deal, but do you really think he'll stick to it once you give this bastard over?
Stour put a thin hand on the bars and pulled himself into the light, making the chain creak. First time she'd seen that sharp-toothed, wet-eyed smile in a while, and it gave her a most unpleasant feeling to add to her nerves. Folk are rarely made better by suffering, after all. Once he got free of that cage, chances were he'd be a worse terror than ever.
"You should run," he whispered. "You should run now and never stop."
Ricka felt a shiver through her shoulders, but she turned it into a careless shrug.
"I'm minded to stay. We're all back to the mud one way or another. Only a question of how and when. Far as that goes."
And she grinned as she tapped at her cheek where the runes were.
"Maybe I know something you don't."